With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're listening to the Obesity Revolution. We're adding fat to fat. You can join the revolution. Follow the conversation and Sean's weight loss journey at theobesityrevolution.com. Now, here's Sean Mulroney.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Obesity Revolution podcast. I am Sean Mulroney. You follow me on all my social media at I am Sean Mulroney, of course. Go to join our, our private group that we have. And it's just amazing what's happening with our private group. And I'm so extremely excited that people are coming in there and they are getting help, and plus going to the obesityrevolution.com. You can go there for our VIP program. It has workouts for people that cannot move, that are not mobile, of course, any level, and then meal plans. And it's all about a plan. I mean, it's not a one size fits all. So you incorporate and find out what works for you. That's what it's all about, because people seem to think that they know how, everybody needs to do this. Well, you find out what works for you and you go with that. I mean, seriously, if you we don't know what we don't know. So try to, quit figuring it out on your own and, get with somebody. Don't watch everybody out there that, they're doing this. Do what works for you. Okay. That's what I'm telling you, especially if you struggle with obesity. Going down that path, and that's what our whole mission is. We want to identify the problem, and obesity is complex, but you're more than your obesity. You're more than that. It doesn't define you. We think that it does. We it might not define us, but other people define us by that. And I just think that everything that we do is based on that you can do this. There's a whole lot of things that go into it. And if we don't identify the problem, we're not going to get there. And then education, if we don't get educated and know and educate more and more and understand what people out there, because people just think, how'd you get yourself that way? Well, there's more to it, and I'll be happy to go through the whole story with you to change that, because we're trying to create awareness and kill the assumptions, that obesity is just this, thing, just eat less, move more mentality. Well, if that was true, there wouldn't be, a pandemic of obesity, across the world. And so anyways, we want to make sure you educate and, inspire. You can inspire people no matter what size you are. And I say this all the time. Listen to me. Don't lose weight and gain an attitude. I mean, seriously, just because you're 687, 887, don't get down to 187 and think that you're all that in a bag of chips, because you're not. And it's keeping that spirit and keeping, who you are and that integrity of doing it. And like I said, inspire other people. And then, also we want to execute, find out what works for you and execute it. And of course, our podcast is brought to you by the Obesity Revolution. And one thing I want to say before I introduce this powerful guest, amazing man. I mean, he inspires me every day. If you're going to quit anything, okay, it's one thing to start, it's another thing to finish. If you're going to quit anything, quit making excuses and quit waiting for the right time, okay? Because the right time isn't going to be whenever you think, well, I'll start Monday. Everybody wants to start Monday. Everybody wants to start January 1st. Well, I hate New Year's resolutions, because, they do that now. The gyms right now are, January 1st through January, a little bit of February, and now it's coming on March, coming into April. Guess what? The gyms aren't as, packed as everybody said, because they made that resolution. But here's the thing. quit making excuses and quit waiting for the right time, because now's the time to do it, because your life is in your hands and no one's going to do it for you. So anyways, this guest, I'm going to tell you what, he's 22 years old. He's from Montana. He grew up an avid athlete, but was consumed by tragedy. And you know what? There's more that goes into obesity, like I said, than just, you know, eat less, move more, or when. How'd you eat yourself to that? But, you know, he gave up on living. And, you know, he focused, you know, finally on surviving, you know, from the age of 15. And then he reached a weight, which I don't want to say that, but I'm going to ask him about that. I don't want to give that away. He decided to make a change, and he was sitting at this weight after countless failed diets and programs. Does that sound familiar? And now he's lost weight. Wait do you hear this? Where do you hear his story? So what I'm going to do, I'm going to introduce to you Zach H. Zach, what's up? Welcome to the Obesity Revolution podcast. How you doing, bro?
Pretty good. How are you doing, man?
I am doing better than I deserve, man. I can't complain. You know, nobody listens anyways, right?
I get you.
So Zach H., the amazing thing about Zach is that he's on TikTok and he's all over. You need to follow him, by the way. He's close to a million followers. Am I right, Zach? I mean, you're getting there really quick.
Slowly but surely, I'm on my way.
You are, brother, and you are just this weight loss journey you started is nothing but extraordinary, man. Tell everybody what your highest weight was.
So. My highest recorded weight was about a year before I started my official weight loss journey, and that was 698 pounds.
Wow.
And, you know, I would venture to take a guess that I hit over 700, but I have
sure.
I've avidly avoided going to the doctor,
right.
So I didn't have to find out if I hit 700.
Right. Yes. So just like my situation, my recorded weight was 687, and I know I got over 700, and you avoid it, and you think, okay, we're sort of in that, denial phase type thing, and you don't want to see that, but you know what, it took you, you know, a lot of things, like you went from, you were consumed by tragedy in your life, Zach. I mean, you just didn't get there by, you know, eating yourself to an oblivion, which that was part of it, right? But there was some tragedy in your life. You know, tell us a little bit about the trials and tribulations and the origin of your story, if you will. Let's go into that and delve into this and unpack it, where you've been.
Well, from a young age, my family kind of just lived in and out of hospitals because... Well, let me ask you, Sean, have you ever heard of a disease called cystic fibrosis?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, with the lungs and you know, they have to have vests and all that stuff to keep that fibrous, you know, stuff out of their lungs. And it's a terrible disease. Yes, sir, I have. Yes.
Yeah. Well, my brother and my sister have a different dad than me, and they both have and had cystic fibrosis. And when I was 11 years old, it took my sister away from us, and she was 20. And that was really the beginning of me starting to eat away my you know, my fear and my anxiety and all sorts of things like that. And then, you know, it was such a balancing act for my family, because oftentimes with kids with cystic fibrosis, it's a uphill battle for them to gain weight. You know, my sister didn't break 100 pounds until she was probably 18 years old.
Wow.
And so the thing was, is, you know, my parents were so focused on getting my brother and my sister to gain weight that they didn't, you know, it was for them, it was either gain weight or face massive, almost instantaneous health repercussions.
Sure.
And for me, you know, it was like, you know, they were not that, you know, they were amazing people and I love my parents to death, but they were a little less worried about my food intake than they were about my brother and sister.
Good. Yeah, because you didn't have like, yours wasn't like, you weren't dying, you know what I'm saying? They were always in fear of that, so they overcompensated because of cystic fibrosis, which is understandable in a lot of things. And I like what you said. You know, your parents aren't bad. They were just doing what they, you know, we're trying to do for your brother and sister, right? I mean, yeah, that's a good point. Nobody's
prepared for something
right,
like that, you know?
It's right.
How are you supposed to learn? And they, and my dad was always Alan. So my bro, just so everybody understands the age difference between my brother, me, and my sister. So my brother is 3 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister is 9 years older than me. And then I have another sister or two sisters in Washington. But my immediate family right now, so there was Alan, and then there's Stephanie, and then there's Jennifer and Tara.
Mm-hmm.
But Stephanie died at 20 in 2009, and I was 11 years old.
So sorry to hear that.
I appreciate that.
I mean, seriously, Zach. I'm sorry, bro. I mean, you weren't prepared for it. I mean, even though it was a bad thing, you just weren't prepared for it.
No, and I because I was so athletic then, it to a degree combated the obesity. Mm. You know, when I was between 11 and 14, I stayed, you know, 285, 315, 320, which is, you know, definitely bigger. But I, you know, I was 6'2 when I was a freshman.
Yeah. So, well, you were manageable because your athletic build, you used that to your benefit is what you did.
Exactly. And because, you know, I played baseball, you know, we won Big Sky State Games, which is like the state championship for soccer.
Sure, for Montana, yeah.
In Montana, and, you know, wrestling, massive wrestling tournaments and basketball, traveling basketball, which is like three games every Saturday, like in one day. Like, it was just a massive amount of cardio. And doing that, it really just kind of kept the weight off. But, you know, some events that I'd rather not talk about happened when I was, you know, 14 or 15. And I just kind of gave up on life and I stopped playing those sports. And then,
so you gave up sports completely is what you're saying. Did you, just
for the most part? Yeah. I just, wow. I started to, that, you know, that thing happened to me when I was 14 or 15. Yes. And, I kind of lost hope for a little bit and I turned to eating to channel that when I was bored, when I was sad. It was something that kept my mind off of everything. So I kept on doing that. And then I started, you know, drinking, sneaking alcohol past my parents and trying to hide it from them. And I don't know if, I'm sure you all know this, but alcohol has a massive amount of calories and very empty calories at that.
Yes. Yes.
But, you know, by 15 or 16, I was a closeted, full blown alcoholic. Like, I knew that I had a real problem when I had my friend bring me out a bottle of Black Velvet whiskey and I literally just drank it by myself at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And like, and I was 16 years old, like, and I was like, what are you doing?
My goodness.
So I kind of stopped doing that, and then we kind of went through some things where the power went out and we didn't, you know, my parents couldn't afford the electricity bill, and we went a whole year without power. We ran the essential stuff off of an extension cord from our neighbor's house.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't run space heaters off of an extension cord. So we had a fireplace
and it gets cold in Montana.
Oh, man. This year alone, we had a solid week of 30 below.
Dang, Zach. I mean,
So we were cooking, you know, cans of chili and cans of stew, all the while I'm trying to go to school. You know, I was a junior in high school, and then come to find out, you know, I go to, they call me in for a meeting junior year, and they're like, Zach, you know, you're a junior and you have half of a credit for all of high school.
Wow.
And I was like, how is that possible? And, you know, I'm not going to put all the blame on my brother or, you know, the situation, because I have to take responsibility for the fact that I half-assed some things. You know, I didn't completely commit.
Yeah, you sound like me. I was the same way, brother.
When Alan got sick, because his...
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
His immune system was so low, he'd give it to me. And then I'd give it to him. And then he'd give it to me. And then it would just go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And right. Then, you know, we'd give it to my dad. And then we'd both be fine for a week and we'd get over it. And then we'd get it again. Or Alan would get something new. And it was just a never-ending cycle. And it made me hate school. And then it got to a point in school where I didn't fit in the desks anymore. Mm-hmm. And that caused, you know, we had to make some special things for me to be able to go to class. And there were some teachers that were really, really, really sweet to me about it. And, you know, they understood. But there were other teachers that I'm not going to name, but publicly ostracized me about it.
Right.
And that really, I mean, and ultimately that led to me.
And not even, you know, to say along, the students, too. You know what I mean? The students were probably, no, you know, was, vicious about it, too, as well.
No, I mean, you know, to be honest, though, because of my athleticism and I'm a pretty good people person, for lack of a better term, I was somewhat
right.
popular.
Okay.
I was kind of a jack of all trades. I could fit in with everybody.
Right.
But the teachers start ostracizing me, or the teacher ostracizing me kind of. Just and that along with not having any want to live anymore, just survive, and not having, you know, if I would have started from then with a half credit, I would have been in school until I was 19 or 20,
yeah,
which I was not willing to do. So I ultimately dropped out. I dropped out of high school when I was, you know, a junior, and I think I was between 16 and 17 years old.
And you just dropped out. You just said, hey, I got to be done with this. You weren't, you know, you didn't see the light at the end of the tunnel doing it that way.
No, not at all. No. I didn't care about what was going to happen next year.
No. And at this time, you're already facing the tragedy. And that's what I say. You see, obesity, listen, there's more to it than just, you know, yeah, did you eat bad, of course, and poor? But there's a whole lot of things that you were going through that happened, even the situation when you were 14, you said, you know, your sister passing away, your brother having it, you know, doing it, going out to that electricity. There's a lot that goes into that, messes with your psyche and messes with your whole mental attitude. I mean, am I correct in saying that? Because I've been there, Zach. I mean, I have a lot of things that happened to me over my past, and people just look at it, just look at our obesity and don't think how we got there.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. But there was one, other than my sister dying and that thing that happened when I was younger, there was one landmark thing that happened when I was 17, 18 years old. Is my mom really battled with depression and bipolar disorder my entire life. And, you know, she had made a couple suicide attempts. But when I was 17 or 18. I believe I had just turned 18 years old. Mm-hmm. It was September of the year I turned 18. She decided, you know, we were going through a really hard time. We had just lost our home. We were going through the process of losing our home, and she decided to take her own life, and she attempted it. And I woke up the next day and she was on the ground and she was being resuscitated, and she took so much Valium and injected herself with my dad's insulin that she went into a coma for 2 weeks. And when she woke up, she had severe ailments to her speech, to her, you know, she was severely disabled. She couldn't communicate. She couldn't eat. She had a feeding tube. She was completely, you know, written off by everybody. And somehow she woke up from that coma after 2 weeks. And then she was in the hospital for about a week after that. And then she went to a place called, it's called Laurel Health and Rehab. And it's basically an assisted living facility. And she was there, and she was obviously still very much not okay.
Yeah.
And mentally, and she went through that, and then she came home, and I knew she wasn't ready to come home, and she had another episode, and they sent her to the state mental institution for that one. And
Zach.
Yeah,
man,
it's been a life, Sean.
Brother, let me ask you this, okay? Now you're going through all this, and you're in your teens, okay?
Yeah.
How were you dealing with this? And I know, like you said, you know, being, you know, sort of a, you know, closet alcoholic and stuff like that. But how were you feeling at this time? Did you feel hopeless? I don't know. What were you feeling at this time, Zach?
Blame. I felt blame. It's a super, super common thing with kids that have dying siblings to have a thing called survivor's remorse. And that basically you saddle yourself with the blame. You know, what could I have done better? What could I have done differently? How could I have helped? How could I have prolonged my sister's life? What did I do wrong that made my mom want to leave this world? And just to clarify with everybody,
so you were blaming yourself is what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. And that turned into, that made me feel like I didn't deserve to live. So I made that active decision to not care anymore and to eat as much as I want. But just to clarify with everybody, by the grace of God or whatever else, my mom has made an entire full recovery and is back to a fully functioning adult.
Good for her.
Her mental health has never, ever, ever, ever been better than it is right now.
Good for her. Good.
She's one of my biggest motivators. You know, even with all the struggles that we've had, she's one of the people that pushed me the hardest with my weight loss. And, you know, I love her to death.
Man, you've been through tragedy, struggle to get where you're at. I mean, Zach, let me say something to you, okay? Let me say this, okay? You inspire me and thousands and millions of others through what you're doing, which we're going to get into. But here's the thing. What inspires me even more is your heart from where you've been through and you to make that and you even having that, you know, survivor's remorse, you know, to thinking you are the problem, the reason, what can I have done better, you know, this and that. And here you're taking your blame, which, you know, a child, a teenager, you know, should be enjoying that facet of life. But it was like you felt it was like every weight of the world. That inspires me even more, the fact that you do not blame them for what they've been through and what you've been put, and you're taking all the blame. That right there, my dear friend, is awesome how you said that.
I appreciate that a lot.
Seriously. I just went to a whole other level of respect for you. Not that I didn't respect for you that, but you're more than your obesity. You know what I'm saying? You have that already in you, that intrinsic motivation that you wouldn't be doing what you're doing if you hadn't been through the things nor me. And, you know, they think obese people, we don't have character. Well, try carrying around 600 pounds with you. That's a lot. You know what I'm saying? Not that it's good for us, but you were carrying the weight of the world around with you, weren't you?
Yeah.
And then it went to your body that we automatically start taking and blaming ourselves. And I think that's why people, 95% of obese people or morbidly obese people, have some kind of tragic abuse, you know, abandonment issues in their life, or just like you said, survivor's remorse, and you're taking the blame for everything. And you were carrying the weight of the world on you. And plus you started putting weight on because it was sort of symbolic of that. So you took it to a whole other level, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow, that's a debt, man, brother. You took on the weight of the world, bro. And now, I got mad respect for you even more, bro. I mean, you are a, you know, we're complex people. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? People don't get us. You know, we hide in the shadows. We, you know, we're afraid to come out. Well, that. And that's what you did too. Here's the good thing. So the turning point is you're carrying the weight of the world. You're going through this, which my heart breaks for you, man. I mean, from your mom, and it's, you know, man, she's a victor. She's not a victim anymore. She's a victor. You know, I'm sad, you know, for your sister, but your brother going through the same thing. And, you know, now, what pushed you here? You're at six in the upper 600s, okay? And what pushed you to publicize your journey and your weight loss journey to put yourself out there, because it's not an easy thing. I mean, that's what I did 4 years ago. And of course my story went viral too, but at the same time, you're like thinking, if I put myself out there, man, you're open to everybody. What made you and pushed you to do that?
So I think the first thing that would start to say that started my stuff off is my brother got to a point where, well, let me go back a little bit. I started going to the YMCA in my city about 2.5 years ago now. Oh, I guess it'd be almost 3 years ago now. And I thought that swimming and just getting active, you know, the whole eat less, move more thing. I thought that the move more, I thought all I had to do was move more.
Right, right.
Well, that wasn't true at all. So I did that for about 2 years. And then it came to a point where my brother had reached 16% lung function.
Yeah.
And he had to move to the state of Washington in with our other sister, Jennifer, so he could get a double lung transplant. And that really, really pushed me, because my brother, you know, my brother and I fought like cats and dogs when we were kids, especially because I felt like I didn't get enough attention
in comparison to him
and my sister.
Right.
But he's my best friend now. You know, he's one of my best friends in the whole world. I would take a bullet and a half for that kid in any day of the week. And so what happened was, around February last year, 2020, February 2020, which was, you know, right before COVID started.
Yeah.
He gained access to a pharmaceutical called Trikafta, and it is, you know, this new miracle drug for people with his strain of cystic fibrosis, and it's taken his lung function from 16% to about 60%.
Wow.
So it literally gave him a new lease on life. And yeah. I thought, if my brother is going to stick around, I'm going to stick around. So that was a big part of it. And then the other one was, I met this college student from Oregon. Her name's Cassidy. And, you know, she was doing the meal prepping, and she was on her own weight loss journey right when we first met. You know, I had lost like, you know, 20, 30 pounds there, went back up, went back down, blah, blah, blah. And she was a pretty good CrossFit athlete. And she was, you know, I've already talked to her, and she doesn't mind if I mention her numbers. But when she started, I believe she was at like 310.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm a very, very good cook, and, you know, don't tell her, not so much. She's not that great of a cook. So she was meal prepping when I met her, and I was like kind of fascinated by it. Yeah. And I started meal prepping with her for her, not for me, but for her. And we started getting real creative, and we do fun things, and it was just a good thing for us to spend time together. And, she, you know, and we did that from – so we met in – we started dating October 3rd, 2019. And then we meal prepped every week for her until she went home in December. She went to Oregon, she went home to her parents for a month for Christmas break. Cause you know, she was when I met her, she was a junior in college. So when she got back, when she was there, she got mono and she had lost a little bit more weight. So she, at the end of, December, she had gotten to like 278, 280 pounds.
Yeah.
So she had lost like 30 or 40 pounds then. But then COVID happened and we both ballooned back up. She, you know, that closed down the gyms, that closed down everything.
Right,
Cassidy
right.
kind of gave up and we just kind of focused on, you know, having fun. And we tried this, we tried that, we tried going to the gym together. And She got back up to 317.3 pounds, and I went from, you know, right when we first got together, I was at 650. I went back up to 682.3 pounds in the middle of the summer, which July 29th was.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office.
More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The day I weighed in and hers was more in June, but I met, you know, this woman showed me that there's more to life than struggle. There's more to life than surviving.
Awesome.
And, you know, I'm not going to say that I did it all for her, but she opened my eyes.
Yes.
You know, she took the blind. She showed me how to take the blinders off. And, you know, everyone says, oh, this person makes me so happy. But in my opinion, happiness isn't a destination that you arrive at. It's a move. It's a mood. It's an emotion.
Good. Ooh, yeah.
And she taught me how to find my happiness.
Ooh,
easier.
That's awesome. Say that again real quick. Happiness. Say that one more time. I love that. I love that. Go ahead. Say it again.
I don't think happiness is a mood or happiness is a destination. It's an emotion, and it's, you know, it's a place that you can get to, but you know, without sadness, there is no happiness. Without rain, you can't enjoy the sunshine. You know, without day, you can't enjoy the night. It's, you know, it's a balancing act. That's what life is a balance.
Oh, bro, that's fire, man. That's a truth bomb. You can't have light without darkness, you know? You know, and that's what I've been saying. I've been saying this all the time. You know, people say, well, you're in the valley. Well, you can't have the mountains without the valley. But I don't say I'm going through a valley. I say I'm just switching mountains is what I'm doing. When I'm going through, you know, I'm not the bad time. I'm just going, you know, things don't grow on the mountaintop, but man, it sure is nice. But you can't have the mountaintops without the valley. Man, Zach, bro, that's just so much fire right there. I can't even take it. Yeah. Happiness isn't, you know, man, it's a journey. I mean, you got to find them things and the people. And she's became part of your why, just like my daughters. My daughters became my why. You know, I have to do it for myself. And you're right like that. But you know what? She was manifesting your why. She gave you something to believe in, you know, something to fight. You know, I think of that Poison song. Did you give me something to believe in? You know what I'm saying? So so you're taking Brent Michaels, you know, song by, you know, and that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. You had an anchor. She sort of became your anchor. And that's the same thing my wife. My wife and I have been married for 23 years, and she's my anchor. She gives me something to believe in. So, man, she's awesome, brother. I mean, you got a good woman there. So she got a good man. Both of you together, you make a dynamic duo. And that's all. That's good stuff, brother. Good stuff. I love it.
I absolutely agree with you about the dynamic duo thing, because we, you know, we're talking about balance here, and so I know how to cook. She's not very good at it. But she knows how to so we'll start like act like we're in the beginning, you know. I know how to work out. I'm an avid athlete.
Yes.
She did CrossFit, but like we balance each other out, right? I'm a good cook. She knows how to meal prep. I didn't know how to meal prep.
Right, right.
She knows how to do CrossFit. I know how to do team sports and make it fun and make it interesting. And we just really balance each other out, because she taught me how to meal prep and I brought my culinary skills to the table, and we make – I mean, I wish I could explain to you guys all the meal preps that we make, and you would hear them and you'd be like, are you sure that's under your, you know, is that within your calories? And absolutely. We have so much fun together meal prepping.
Well, it's make it sort of like a, you know, it's a lifestyle. It's not just a diet, you know, it's a lifestyle, Zach.
Absolutely. I will meal prep until I am put into a home. I swear.
Well, so speaking of that, what is it that you, what are you doing? And let's go into this. Tell everybody how much weight you've lost and in how long. Can I hear that real quick?
Yeah, absolutely. So I started on July 29th, and at my last weigh-in, which was about a little less than 7 months, I was 522 pounds. So I've lost over 160 pounds in 7 months.
Nice.
In my opinion, very sustainably.
Yes.
I've used every step of the way. I used my doctor, my primary care doctor, a dietitian, and a cognitive behavioral therapist to make sure it all sticks.
Nice. So you used your primary care doctor, a nutritionalist, and a cognitive
behavioral therapist.
Good. Okay. So tell us what goes in. What's the ingredients to your success in your eating and what you do? What do you follow? How do you, you know, what, tell everybody about that. I mean, you say it's sustainable. Well, if you can't do something sustainable, you're not going to stick to it. Bottom line.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And you have to do what works for you, right?
Yep.
Okay,
yep, absolutely.
So tell us your ingredients and your solution for you.
So I think the most important ingredient of all of them is failure. I think failing at all of these diets and trying this, trying keto, trying paleo, trying Atkins,
You
got to fail at those to succeed.
Yes.
And so I tried seeing this dietitian, this exact dietitian before. Her name's Paige Cross. She's the most wonderful woman in the world. And I started to see her November of 2019, right after Cassidy and I met. I started seeing her then, and then I wrecked my car and I kind of fell off. But I talked to my doctor in July, and I was like, hey, I am ready. Nobody, you know, I really came to it on my own. Nobody pushed me. No one was like, Zach, you need to lose weight. I was like, I'm tired of living this life. And I texted, I got on my patient portal and I sent an email to my doctor. And I was like, Dr. Williams, you know, I'm ready to take this to the next level.
Is your doctor pretty understanding and stuff like that?
Oh, as far absolutely. As absolutely, he's a younger guy. You know, okay. He's probably like 35, 36 good. Years old.
Good, because most doctors are dismissive. Most doctors are dismissive. Oh, you know what I'm saying? Huh? So yes,
I agree.
Yes, so go ahead.
He gave me another referral to my dietitian, and I went to her for probably I went to that first weigh-in where I was like 682.6. And then we kind of came up with a little bit of a meal plan on what we can start doing. And, I was still a little half-hearted, wholehearted. You know, I wasn't completely into it yet. And then, you know, I followed her advice and I followed the meal preps for 2 weeks and I lost – or a month or whatever it was. And I lost like, 14, 15 pounds. And I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm seeing results for the first time. I'm seeing real results.
Yes.
So I was like, I talked to my primary and I talked to my dietitian and I was like, what do you think about me? Okay. So let me rewind a little bit. Sorry to be disorganized, but my big problem with not losing weight was when no one was looking. 2 a.m, I'd sneak into the kitchen and I'd binge eat. I'd have a bologna and cheese sandwich with, a 16-ounce glass of milk. Well, if you do the calories on that, that's like 1,000 calories.
Yeah. Right.
Ridiculous. So, right. And, I thought, oh, I worked out really hard today. So that cancels it out. That's not how it works. That's not how it works at all.
Right.
So I did that and I was like tired of not seeing enough results. After, a couple weeks, I was like, this isn't working. What am I doing wrong? And my dietitian was like, I need you to be honest with me right now. What are you doing? Why are you need to be honest with yourself because only you know why you're not seeing results.
Right.
And she was like, because, we extensively monitored my labs and my blood sugar and my glucose and all of that stuff. And I am abnormally healthy. So yes. She was like, you are the only person that can tell me why you're not losing weight. And, I believe if I remember correctly, I teared up and I was like, because when everyone goes to sleep, I feel like I have the right to eat. I feel like I can't help myself. Mm. So we talked and we kind of came up with a solution that I need to talk to my already cognitive behavioral therapist about why I binge eat, about why I turn pain into food. And that was a breaking point for me because he broke it down. And if you guys don't understand what cognitive behavioral therapy, to put it in, you know, simpler terms, it's basically you talking to a therapist and rewiring how you react to situations.
Breaking down
things so you understand them and then working back through them to change your behavior. So to break it down, when I was sad, bored, depressed, angry, I would eat, I would snack, I would drink soda, I would do all these things that had to do with comfort and food, right? It's human nature to seek comfort throughout all of those emotions, and food was my comfort. I finally grasped that, then I took her by the reins, and I started to lose a little bit more,
Zach? What was that thing you had to grasp?
Accountability, you know, just taking responsibility and being honest and coming to the epiphany that the only person that I'm cheating is me. Yeah. And whatever future I may have with this beautiful, amazing girl that I found, you know, like, how am I going to marry her and have kids or adopt kids if I can't make it to 30 because I'm 700 pounds?
Yeah.
How's that going to work, Zach?
Yeah.
You know, I just had to be so brutally honest with myself and sit down and, what do you want more? Do you want to go and eat in the middle of the night, or do you want to build a beautiful life and get out of this hell that you've lived for 10 years? What do you want more?
Wow.
And then so I went from, you know, 15 pounds, and then I think I hit 35 pounds from July 9th or July 29th to the middle of September. I lost 35 pounds and I was happy with that. And then I went from the middle of September to the first or second week of October.
Yeah.
Well, I'd only lost 5 pounds and I was being an avid athlete, I'm a highly competitive person, even if that competitiveness is with myself.
Right, right.
And I'm well aware that weight loss isn't supposed to be linear and it's not always going to be perfect, but I knew that I was cheating myself.
Right.
I knew that I was still binge eating at night. So, you know, Cassidy does 18-6 intermittent fasting, and I didn't really want to do that. So I just looked into some fasting stuff. And I downloaded a fasting app, and it was like, do you want to do, or like, what type of fasting do you want to do? And I kind of just went through and kind of figured out what I wanted to do. And it recommended a type of fasting that is just following the circadian rhythm, and the circadian rhythm is basically your body's biological clock, internal clock of like when the sun goes down. It's why you get tired when it gets dark out.
Right, right.
And following the circadian rhythm with eating, it's not a gimmick diet. It's nothing fancy at all. It's not starving yourself. That's why I loved it so much. It's literally eating when you feel hungry after you wake up and then eating when it gets dark.
Wow.
And I did that. And so from October 7th to Election Day, which was like November 4th.
Yes.
I went from losing 5 pounds in 3 weeks to 34 pounds in 28 days.
Just doing that,
just following the circadian rhythm, no snacking in between, no empty calories like soda, and I didn't starve myself. It was perfect, and I didn't feel deprived. I didn't feel like there was a mental block. I didn't feel like it wasn't sustainable. And I've done the circadian, and the cool thing about it is I haven't, because Montana in the winter, it gets so dark so early, I stopped following the circadian rhythm after, 2 months.
Yeah.
And I just started eating on that schedule. So I probably, I wake up at 9:30, 10 o'clock, and I'd eat at around 10:30, 11. And then I would eat lunch every day at no earlier than 2 o'clock, but usually between 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock. And then I would always eat after 6 p.m. between 6 and 7:30 every night.
And then
I'd stop, put the cap on it. No food in, nothing.
And you lost 35 pounds just doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, also with working out.
Yeah, well, but you weren't doing empty calories, caloric drinks, you weren't doing any of that. And so that's pretty interesting. I mean, I've heard a lot about that, the circadian, thing is eating when it's up. And then I've also heard, in the morning, you're supposed to eat like a king, and in the lunch you eat like a prince, and then at night you eat like a pauper, type thing. Mm. Because your biggest meal should be whenever you wake up because your metabolism. But sometimes, like me, you know, when I find out my biggest, I'm a night owl. And that's always been my schedule. I mean, that's how I am. I hate mornings. I'm not a morning person because most people, there's people that are born that way. And so what I found out is that if I, you know, tend and I started eating breakfast is whenever I started getting, you know, good results because I was putting that in there and I wouldn't eat. I'd eat big at night all the time. You know, that's what my big regret was, is that how I got to where I'm at is because I would eat at 11, 12 o'clock at night and then go to sleep. And then you're sleeping on it and your body's shutting down. So it's really incredible that you say that about the circadian, you know, thing. But eating like a king, you know, eat your big meal for breakfast, lunch, eat like a prince, and then at night eat like a pauper. And so that's pretty cool.
Let me clarify about how I feel about the circadian rhythm. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor.
Right.
But I do not believe that the circadian rhythm helped me because I wasn't eating past a certain time. I believe that the circadian rhythm helped me because it made me stop eating.
That's good.
Past 6:30. You know, that's good. I don't necessarily think that my metabolism works so and so percent harder after this certain hour of the day when you went to sleep. And maybe there's merit to that. But for me, it was just not sneaking food after 6:30. That's so good. That's why I say I didn't follow like an 18-6 fasting. I don't use it like that. I use it as a time frame. It's like, you know, you have a job, you go to work from 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock, and then you're done with work after 5 o'clock. So my job, for all intents and purposes, my job is to work out and eat right. And for eating right for me is eating on a schedule. Mm. And that works for me and it's sustainable and I love it. And another thing about it is I stopped using food as an excuse to, you know, the oldest time breaking bread with friends and stop meeting. I stopped doing it as often. I stopped using it as an excuse. Of course, I still go out to dinner with some friends or I go get drinks every once in a while. You know, I think depriving is ridiculous.
It is. You'll never stick to it. Yes.
Exactly. But for me and where I'm at in my journey, it's not worth it.
Wow, Zach.
What I want, the end result, more than I want to go out and get drunk with my friends.
Man. See, you got that intrinsic motivation. I mean, you got that fire in the belly that you have to have because, you know, if we don't change our mind and we don't get our mind in shape, we're never going to get our body in shape. Bottom line.
100% agree with you.
You know, and the thing is, as we're coming to a close, here's the thing, Zach, listen to this. What if you had a secret, what would you say that your secret to losing is? What would you say?
A short little funny story is I follow this a friend of mine on TikTok and he's lost about 200 pounds as well. And somebody commented like, how do you stay motivated? And he was like, for the first few months, you know, you have people around you that motivate you all the time. And after a certain point, it's not motivation anymore. It's discipline.
Mm.
It's all about discipline. It's do you want it more than you want to eat? And that's how it works for me. And I don't mean that in a way of starving yourself. I mean that in a way of, you know, get your adequate amount of calories in a day. But do you feel like gorging yourself with 3 sandwiches and 2 glasses of milk is worth undoing your progress? And eating like that isn't going to undo all your progress, but it is a very slippery slope.
Yes. Well, you take one, it turns into more, you know, one day turns into a week, turns into a month, turns into where you just derail everything. You say, I'm going to slash all 3 of the other tires, you know, because we don't do that when we get a flat tire. You know, why would I slash the other 3 tires and make them flat? Well, we need to fix that. If we could learn that and take small steps and get back up on that's what changed with me is that when I decided to get back up on the horse, whenever I did fail, and like you said, you know, you carried the weight of the world on your body is what you did. And then whenever you said, man, I'm going to get up and I'm going to quit doing this and quit blaming myself, that was a turning point for you. just like it was for me. I said, man, it's done. I mean, I'm going to get back up on the horse. I'm not going to stay down. And we got to fail to success, you know, because failure is part of success. If you're not, you know, succeeding or failing, then you're not trying. You know what I'm saying? And if you ain't dead, you ain't done. You know what I'm saying? We got that. We got that in us. So how did Reddit help? Tell us a little bit about that. give us a little insight on that.
Just to touch back a little bit, I just wanted to give my friend David Roden a little bit of a shout out and credit for that quote, because that's not for
that's
me.
That's awesome, David. Motivation. Yes, yes. Follow him on TikTok, right? He's on TikTok? Yeah, okay.
Yes, he is.
Good.
And so Reddit helped me. This is a really interesting story. So I'm a weird guy, and my whole
I am too. Man. We're misfits, man. I love misfits.
Past, probably 5 years, 6 years. I've listened to podcasts to go to sleep to, because it makes me dream about what I'm listening to.
Yes.
And it's just soothing. But after, you know, I got a little bored because the podcast became a little bit monotonous. And I got to a certain point where I started to listen to Reddit readings, where basically, like, it'll pull up a Reddit forum, like, tell the craziest I quit on the spot story, or, you know, what's your most NSFW story, or, you know, what is, you know, just crazy things like that, that, you know, tell us the craziest story on an aircraft that you've ever had or whatever. Well, I found this one probably 6 months before I started my weight loss journey. And it was basically titled Craziest Things to Happen After Extreme Weight Loss. Mm-hmm. Well, I listened to that, and all of these things, like, you know, just so many things that I wish that I could just see in my mind of me accomplishing, that I'd listen to it and I'd listen to it and I'd listen to that 13 minute Reddit probably 10 times.
Yeah.
And I started to try to manifest it and, like, envision myself doing it.
Yeah.
And it and now it's finally coming true.
Wow.
Because, like,
that's cool.
The craziest thing, the most demoralizing basic human right that I took away from myself with the weight gain is, and this is a really private thing, but I lost the ability to wipe my butt.
We all did. It's a marathon. It's like, that's our workout, Zach. That is it.
Oh, shit.
Literally. No.
And it was the most, it was the hardest thing I ever went through, and I wasn't able to wipe my own butt for, 3 years. I had to take a shower immediately after I went to the bathroom every single time.
Yeah.
And if I didn't, I'd get swamp ass real bad.
I'm sorry. I'm not laughing. I'm laughing with you, man, because I've been there, done that.
Because you feel it. Yeah, you've been there.
Yeah, man.
It's the worst.
Yes.
Yeah, you're in Disney World, and you got to take a crap. Oh, no. Hope they have a shower.
Or, man, you better take a whole lot of Imodium AD, brother. That's all.
Oh, my God.
Bind yourself up. Get yourself a binder. You know what I'm saying? Oh,
so,
Zach.
So now that I can wipe again, you know, I feel like my life's been given back to me.
It's like life of a fat person. There you go. I mean, it's like, man, yeah, nobody gets that. You know, bathing, you know, getting under the folds, you know what I mean? Because that's what I'm real, you know, be real about it. It just sucks. I mean, there's no doubt. But you say, well, you shouldn't have let yourself get that. You know what? Don't even, if you don't have any skin in the game, shut up. You know what I mean? Go where it don't snow.
I agree.
You know what I mean? You don't even get it, man. I'd never let myself get that way. Well, you got the metabolism of a hummingbird, so shut up. You know what I mean? So go get away from me. Don't, I mean, you're assuming that you know, but yeah, whenever you get there where you're sweating, you know, more than if you were lifting, you know, weights by trying to get around to, you know, your arms, you know, and I got T-Rex arms, you know, anyways, so I'm trying to go back, you know what I mean? Where's this angle at? And then it just starts getting, oh my goodness, what am I doing? But you know what I do thank God for? Bidets.
What?
Bidets have changed the life. You know what I'm saying? The day of the bidet. That's what the day of the bidet has changed it. Get that down and you know, get that fireman swamp. You know what I mean? Don't get swamp ass anymore. That's awesome, Zach. Uh-huh. Oh, Zach, you're the best, man. I have a kindred heart with you because you know it. Because you said, hey, I'm living it. And you know, that's your whole epitome, is that you got this way. and got to your highest weight because you had the weight of the world and the things that you went through to be there. And that's summed everything up. You're like, man, I had this, you know, survivor's remorse, you know, through losing your, you know, your sister, you know, your brother having cystic fibrosis, your mom almost losing her. And then you're thinking, man, what am I doing? Not paying attention. Here I am. I'm over here shouting. The only way I'm going to get some attention is I'm putting weight on, because the weight of all the problems are as I'm blaming myself for it. And bro, I mean, so people can get a hold of you. Everybody follow Zach on TikTok. What's your handle on TikTok, Zach, and everywhere else? What do you go by? Tell everybody.
So on TikTok, it's at Zach2885.
Yes.
And on Instagram, it's Zach.H28.
There it is, Zach H, brother. Zach, I'll tell you what, let me say something. I love you, bro. I mean, you are an inspiration to me and a true friend. And I love how you think. You think like I am. We're weird. You know, it's fun being weird. It's fun being weird. It's fun being weird. You should try it sometimes. That's what me and my daughter sings all the time. So my oldest and I are the same. She's her father's child. So we love being weird. I'm a misfit. You know, I'm an outcast. I'm an underdog, man. I'm proud of it, you know. And what you are, birds of a feather flock together. I just want to tell you from the bottom of my heart that, you know, if somebody needs to reach out to you, hit them up on, you know, TikTok, hit them up on, you know, which his links, I'll put all the links will be in the show notes, everything. But Zach, I want to tell you from the bottom of my heart, thank you for doing this podcast. Thank you for being on the podcast. It means the world to me, bro. Thank you.
I absolutely appreciate you having me on. I had a blast.
Well, we'll do it again. I got other things in the plans too, and I wanna have you back and have some other things that we're doing. So I'm pumped up about this, and anything I can do for you, I'm here. So just remember that. So
absolutely.
Well, without further ado, listen. Thank you, every one of you, for listening to this podcast. We love you. You are the best part of the obesity revolution. Don't ever forget that. And, you know, just like Zach, his story is he had all these problems and he bottled them up and he took them all on him and he was going to take everything. So then the weight came on. And I know some of you right there out there are struggling just like Zach has with, you know, whether it's survivor's remorse, whether it's you're blaming yourself, whether the problems that are around you, that you're taking them all on you and then you're going to food or you're, you know, whether it be drugs, whether it be alcohol, whether it be food. Don't do that, because you are worth it and you matter and you're more than enough. And remember this, you know, it's time to get healthy and it's time to stay healthy. And it's time for you to take it. And guess what? Like Zach said about failing. If you gotta fail, that's part of it. And it's up to you. It's not on anybody else. You gotta do it for you. And if you don't, guess what? There's no sense in trying. So until next time, I love you all, and we got this.
Thanks for listening to the Obesity Revolution. Now it's your time to join the revolution. You can follow Sean's weight loss journey and get coached by trainer extraordinaire Brandon Glore at theobesityrevolution.com.